Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sota Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin at the Mishnah that you find at the top of Daf Yud Zayin. You'll notice on the side of our marked Gemaras a Nosei heading, Nosei topic heading, and we've written Machlokes Tanoim Ma Kosvin B'Megillas Sota. We will see a Machlokes Tanoim, a three-way Tanaic controversy or disagreement as to what is written on the parchment, and we call Megillah Sota the parchment that is part of the Sota process. The psukim found in Bamidbar Perek He, several psukim, are written, and eventually, after they're written out, they're erased over the water that the sota will end up drinking. The question here, as we said, which psukim are to be written? If you take advantage of the psukim that we've included at the end of the Masechta, so you see Parsha Sota is spelled out in its entirety, and when you look at Pasuk Chof Gimel, the Torah instructs, V'kosav es ha'oloi se'ele, Hakayin Basefu Mochel Mei Hamorim. The curses that are, all those are curses that are here, the Kohen will write on the parchment and then erase over the water. And Pasuk Chotal says she drinks from that. Which psukim are written though? So now the Mishnah. Bo Loi Lichtei Vesamagila. He comes to write the section on the Megillah on the parchment. Me'eza Mokum Hu Kosev. From where does he write? So now we have the first opinion. This will turn out to be the opinion of Rebbe Meir. Me'im Lo Shochav Ish. That's a reference to Posuk Yutes. He continues writing, Vi'at Kisotis Tachas Ishech. The Mishnah then tells us, Vi'eino Kosev. He doesn't write what's found in Pasuk Chof Aleph, Vishpia Kenesu Isha. The Pasuk is informative, namely that the Kohen binds the woman to an oath of her claim of innocence. That's not written out, though. Fekosev, Pasuk Chof Aleph, you do write, Yitain Hashem Osoch Liolo Lishvua. And you continue into Pasuk Chof Beis, Uvo Hamayim Hamorim Hoela B'Meayach Latzu Isbetin V'Lag Pil Yerech. The psukim, their translations, of course, we highly recommend opening up a Chumash translation and appreciating it. But for our purposes, we're dealing right now with procedure, what is written and what's not written. So we continue, V'Eino Kosev, and he does not write this section of Pasuk Chof Beis, which says, V'omra ha'isha omein omein. That's instructional. And the woman shall answer, she'll respond with this omein, double omein expression, where she accepts the oath imposed upon her, indicating her claim of innocence. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Hoya Mafsik. Rabbi Yossi says, like the Tanakama that you start writing from Pasuk Yutes, but there's no breaking, no skipping. You would write from Im Lo Shochav Ish and Pasuk Yutes until Omein Omein. If we look in Rashi, Lo Hoya Mafsik, Rashi says, Mishehischil Im Lo Shochav Ish Oisoch Ad Omein Omein, from the point that he starts writing Im Lo Shochav until Omein Omein, Sheokosev Tzavo, Devishpia Koenes Isha, you do write in the Parsha the command, the orders given to the Kohen to impose the oath on the woman, the Kabbalah and the acceptance of the woman, Diva Omra, Hoisha, Amen, Amen. That's called Tzavois v'Kabbalos. Those are terms that you'll see from time to time. Tzavah, the instruction to the Kohen to impose the oath on her, and Kabbalah, her acceptance. So, we've seen two opinions so far. We continue in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol atzmo eino koisev. All of this you do not write. Elo yitein Hashem oisach lo lushvua. V'chule uvo hamayim hamorim u'ela b'me'ayach. That is what you do write. Pasuk, we saw Pasuk Chof Aleph and Pasuk Chof Beis. Till that point where it says the water enters your innards, b'me'ayach, v'eino kosev, and you don't write the continuation v'omro ha'isha amen amen, where the woman accepts. That's instructional. It's not to be written in. B'may komifliki. What's the basis of this three-way machlokes? B'hai krol komifliki. The basis is the following pasuk, and we made reference to this pasuk before. Pasuk Chof Gimel, the pasuk says v'chosav es ha'olois ha'ele ha'kein ba'sefer. Notice triangles, and on the side under the nosei mivne heading, they represent hezber shitas ha'tanoim hamuskar v'mishnah, the explanation of each one of the opinions of the time that appeared in the Mishnah, binyan ma koisim megillas soita, what is written into that section. Rabbi Meir Sofer. Rabbi Meir was the first opinion in the Mishnah. You write some psukim, there's writing, skipping, and skipping. Rabbi Meir Sofer Olois, Olois Mamish. Olois is a reference to the actual curses. Ho Olois, the hey of that word, Lerabois, Klolois Habois Machmas Brochos. The Pasuk says, Hinoki Mimei Hamorim. That means that, well, if you're innocent, so you will be cleansed from the effects of the water. So that itself is found in Posuk Yutes. It's a type of blessing. You'll be cleansed. That's a, but if you infer from that, that's, you'll find, and if you're not innocent, so you won't be cleansed. You're gonna die. You're gonna be cursed. That is an example of a klola, a curse, habos machmas bros, that comes through inferring from the brocha, that if you're not going to merit the brocha, what would be is a curse. And that's a reference to the what we saw in Pasuk Yutes, hinoki mimei amorim oro eile. So Rabbi Meir says, olos, that which is, we'll say, the explicit curse, which you find in the psukim you write, and holos, you write the curse that you would derive through inference. Eile, the word Eile that you see at the end of Pasuk Yutes, Limute Klolos Sheba Mishneh Torah. You're writing curses for the Sota, but you're not going to write the curses that are found in Sefer Dvorim, what we call the Toichicha and Parshas Kisavo. That's a general list of curses that apply to the Jewish people if they don't follow the Torah mitzvahs. But that's not included in this Parshas Sota. The word Eile is a limitation expression, so it's excluding the klolos found in Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah is another expression referring to Sefer Dvorim. Ha Eile, the word Ha Eile is preceded, the word Eile is preceded with a He, Limute, Tzavos v'kabolos. I mean, according to Rabbi Meir, the tzavos, remember we said that's v'hishpia klinis isha, that's excluded, and kabolos, I mean, where the woman says v'omer isha amen amen, that is also excluded. Later in the Gemara, we're going to note the function of the word hey according to Rabbi, the letter hey according to Rabbi Meir. Before, we have little arrows also to the side of them, where you can see the first arrows point to a line where you see the ha'olos, the word, the hey is larabos, is inclusive, and here the hey is exclusive. An interesting phenomenon. We need further explanation. V'rabiosi, we saw Rabiosi in the Mishnah as being quite inclusive. He said lo hayamafsik. So where does he get his idea from? kulu kudikamras. He says everything that you, Rabbi Meir, had said, I agree with that. S, the word S that appears in the pasuk, because of S ha'olos, the rabbi savos v'kabalos, that comes to include the command to the kohen v'yishpia, kohen isha, and the kabalos v'yomar isha, amen, amen. So Rabbi Yossi sees in the word S addition, inclusion. Include that as well. For Rabbi Meir, who excluded the Tzavos and Kabbalos, Esim lo dorash. He, the word Esim is the plural of the word S. He doesn't see significance of a, let's say, of an inclusive nature in the word S. For Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda was very limited. Kulu b'mi'uti dorash lu. He sees in these psukim limitations. Olos, olos mamish. The word olos is a reference to the curses themselves. So that he acknowledges that you do right. Ho olos, the hey, is limute klolos habos machmas brochos. You will not write those kind of curses that are only inferred, namely that which is not explicit, that which you infer from, we saw before, the pasuk of Hinoki mimei hamorim, that we saw in pasuk Yutes. Eile limuti klolos sheve mishnah Torah. The word Eile, we've explained earlier, is a limitation expression. These curses you write to the exclusion of those curses found in Sefer Dvorim. And ho Eile, the hey of that word, is limuti tzavos v'kabalos. Rabbi Huda, as we saw, indicate with regard to Rabbi Meir also, we come to exclude the instructions of the Kohen to impose an oath on her and the acceptance of the oath on the part of the woman. The Gemara asks, here the Gemara raises the question that we alluded to earlier, and here let us use the arrows that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. For Rebbe Meir, Maishno Hai Hei de Marbibe, why is it that the letter Hei in the word Ho'olos, the Pasuk had said, V'kosav es Ho'olos, that is an inclusive element, U'maishno Hai Hei de Moyet Bei. And we saw the second arrow above, we saw Ho'ele, according to Rabbi Meir, was limute, was exclusive. You would assume that if the hey has a role, it would be a consistent role throughout. The Gemara answers, hey de gabe de ribuya, ribuyahu. A hey that appears in the context of something that's of an inclusive nature, the hey also will be inclusive. There the Pasuk said, v'kosav es ha'olos, you are to write the curses. There's no limitation expression there. So it adds not only all those curses themselves, but also the curses that come through inferring from the brocha. Hey, the gabe, the miunta, the hey that's attached to a limitation word itself, the word eile is a limitation expression. It's an exclusive expression. So a hey that's attached to it, miutahi, it too serves in that capacity. The Gemara asks, how could Rabbi Meir be associated with an idea that's based on inference? In other words, the Pasuk says, you shall write the curses, and he takes it to mean all the curses, not only the explicit curses, but those curses that are inferred. But the hall less lay the Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Meir, as a matter of rule, does not hold from Michlau Lav Atashomea Hain. That's an expression, instead of translating it immediately, we simply say inference. He doesn't hold that from the negative you are to derive the positive. And in our context, he doesn't hold from that type of logic, and hence, how could he be the one to say that curses that come from brachos are also considered curses? Omar Rebbe Tanchum. He no ki ksiv. Here the Torah is not only saying something that we would say leads to inference, but it chose an unusual word. It chose the word hinoki, means that if you're, the Pasuk is saying that if you're innocent, so you will be cleansed. The word hinoki, the hey that you see at the beginning of the word, can be interchanged with a ches, and then you would see the word chenek or hinoki be strangled. So since the Torah used this unusual word, it's as if the curse, chinoki, being strangled, dying, is explicit. So that Rabbi Meir's expectation of your writing out that section of Pasuk Yutes is in effect writing out an explicit curse. Dorish Rabbi Akiva. Here the Gemara has an agadic comment. Ish v'isha, a man and woman, and a couple that marries, zachu, if they are meritorious, shechina b'nehem, the divine presence will dwell amongst them. You'll have a home of conviviality, of harmony, of peace and tranquility. The Almighty is dwelling amongst them. Lo zachu, if they do not merit, then eish ochlosan, they'll be consumed by fire. The fire of wrath, the fire of contention. The Rashi adds, based on what we're going to see shortly in the Gemara, first let's look at the Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines. The Rashi zachu, a couple that are meritorious. Loleches b'derech yeshara, they follow a straight path. Shelo yehu noeh v'lo hi noefes, that he doesn't engage in immoral behavior. Likewise, she does not engage in ni'uf. Ni'uf is a word referring specifically to illicit relations. A couple that leads a morally upstanding life. Shechina b'neim, Rashi goes, Sharei chilek es shmo v'shifnu b'neihem. The Almighty's name, the Almighty has different names referring to different attributes. One of the names is a yud and a hey. And you see that very often, even in the, when we daven, we see that name. So there's a yud and a hey. Those letters comprise God's name. Yud be'ish, the yud appears in the word ish, aleph yud shin, and the hey appears in the word isha at the end of her name, aleph shin hey. So if they merit, they have the divine presence amongst them. If they do not merit, then God removes his name. When you remove those letters from the word ish and isha, you remove the hey from ish, what are you left with? Aleph shin, you're left with ish, fire. If you remove the hey from the word isha, again, you have aleph shin. In the case of the isha, you'll notice that the aleph shin are already next to each other and the hey is simply added at the end. Let's continue now in the Gemara. The double underline is used to highlight Rava's name. You'll see a number of memros of Rava's we go through the Gemara, and let's continue then in the text. Omar Rava, u de'isha, the issue of, let's say, lack of merit. In the case of the woman, it could maybe, we can explain it, if the woman is the one, if the woman is behaving immorally, adifo mi de'ish, that's even worse than in the case of the man. This idea we saw earlier in the Masichta, when the Gemara made allusion to wrath and immorality in a household, that is primarily a problem when it comes to the woman. So in the case of the woman, it's worse. Why? Hai mitzaref, hai lo mitzaref. In the case of, mitzaref means joined together. In the case of the woman, the fire, eish, aleph, shin, those letters are already joined together. So that it's a way of hinting to the idea that the fire of contention, of destruction, is quicker, more quickly realized in the case of the woman. There's nothing in between. In the case of the man, you have a yud, and that's what v'hai. In the case of the man, lo mitzarf, they're not connected. The aleph shin, the letters aleph shin, are not connected. Omar Rava, Mipnei Ma'am Rotura Hove Ofer Lesota. Why does the Torah instruct the use of dirt in the case of the Sota? What's the significance? Zochsa, if she is meritorious, if she's innocent, Yoytzim Imenu Ben Kavrom Avinu, a son will come forth from her, like Avraham, our patriarch, Dichtiv Bey, regarding Avraham Avinu, the Pasuk says, Ofer Ve'efer. Avraham Avinu describes himself as being like dust and ash. So the term Ofer is found in the context of Avraham, and hence in the case of the Sota, she'll merit having a son like him if she is innocent. Lo Zochsa, if it turns out to the contrary, Tachzor Le'efra, then she dies and goes back to the dust. Dorish Rava. Here we have some new markings. We're continuing the use of the double underlining, highlighting Rava's Maimros. The diamond introduces the expression Dorish Rava, and the term Bischar, you'll see, is highlighted with a bow tie shape. That in the merit of, in as reward for such and such, Zochu, they will merit having such and such, and we'll see the examples as we go through the Gemara. So, Dorish Rava, Bischar Shom Avram Avinu Vanochi Ofer Vefer, in reward for Avram's humility, saying that I am mere dust and dirt, Zochu Bonov Lishnei Mitzvahs Of Efer Poro the Ofer Sota. The descendants of Avram, in the receipt of the Torah, had two mitzvahs in which you see these two elements, the ash of the Pora Aduma, and which is the entity, the element used for purification of someone who experienced defilement to the dead, Tumas Meis, and Ofer Sota, the dirt, in the case of the Sota woman. Those are two mitzvahs. Vo'ikonami Ofer Kisa Adam. If you're listing mitzvahs that have a connection to these materials, is there not the dirt used for covering the blood of slaughtered fowl, slaughtered highest undomesticated kosher variety animals like deer, where there's a mitzvah to cover the blood? The Gemara responds that there's a qualitative difference between Ofer Kisa Adam and the two previously mentioned mitzvahs. Hasam Hechsher Mitzvah Ika Hano Aleka. There you have what's called Hechsher Mitzvah. We can say you have the performance of a mitzvah, but you don't have resultant benefit or pleasure from it. You did the mitzvah, and there's no other than the actual mitzvah itself, there's no other benefit that you get from it, and certainly in this world. Of course, every mitzvah is a beneficiary for the person in the world to come, but there's no hano. We take a look in the Rashi. On the third line under the Gemara text, hano leka, the ein ze kibul schar. And hence, by the simple performance of a mitzvah, that's not regarded as receiving reward. And in our Gemara, we're darshaning Rava saying bischar as reward for. In kiyum of the mitzvah of kistam, there's no fulfillment of a reward element. Aval kan yesh hano. Here, in the examples that were given, besota, in the case of the sota, there's a hano, loseis shalom. If it turns out that she's innocent, so we are able to bring the couple back together again, husband and wife can live in peace. And if in fact she's guilty, so she dies, and no children, no illegitimate children are born. So that the prevention of mamzerim is also considered beneficial. And if she's innocent, if she's clean, and she has and then bears children, that removes any bad mouthing concerning the legitimacy of her children that she does have. So you see, benefit, tangible, noticeable benefit from the mitzvah of Ofer Sota. The Efer Pora, there's also tangible benefit other than the mitzvah itself is l'taharon, purification. This is a, I found this to be very, very interesting, how Rashi ties in the significance of Torah Duma. It's a type of, it's a drusha that you find Rashi explaining that the Torah Duma comes as a form of, let's say, atonement for the sin of the golden calf. The calf is the child of the pora. It's as if the mother comes along and cleans off its child, so that the Jewish people merit a type of atonement for the sin of the golden calf. So those are, we'll say, benefits from these mitzvahs. By kisui hadam, we don't have anything of the like. Just by the way, if a person slaughters a bird and doesn't do kisui hadam, that doesn't mean he can't eat the bird. He can eat the meat anyway. So it's called simply hechsher mitzvah without hanah. And we're looking for something of a tangible nature because of the drosha where it says in reward for, so we get these as rewards. Continuing in the Gemara, Dorash Rava, Bishar Shama Avram Avinu. Again, we quote that which is related to Avram Avinu. In reward for that which Avram Avinu said, Im Michut V'Ad Sroch Nal, he indicated to the Melech Sdom that he is not going to take anything from him, whether it be a string or a shoe strap. Zochu bonav lishnei mitzvahs. The descendants of Rome merit two mitzvahs, chut, and two mitzvahs that, as we said before, represent something of a reward nature, tangible benefits. Chut shel tchelis, rutsu shel tefillin. The blue-colored, bluish-colored string, tchelis, is a blue-related color. It's attached to the, included in the traditional mitzvah tzitzis. And the strap that is part of the mitzvah tefillin. So you have chut of tchelis, like Avram Avinu had said, im michut, and srochnal is a ritzua, a strap. You find a strap by shoes, and you find a strap, lahavdil, by tefillin. Bishlamo ritzua shel tefillin, I understand that there's kibul schar, there's something we can call tangible benefit from the for performance of the mitzvah tefillin. Dichtiv the ro kol ami oretz ki shem Hashem nikro lecha v'yoru mimecha. The nations of the world will see the name of God upon you, and they will fear you. V'tanya Reb Lozer agodolomir elu tefillin shebarosh. The entity that will create this fear on the part of the nations of the world is them noticing the tefillin worn on one's head. The tefillin worn on one's arm are covered. The tefillin worn on one's head are visible. They will see that, and they will have fear of you. They will certainly have respect and awe of you. Well, that's something that we can describe as beneficial to the Jewish people. And lechut shel tchelis maihi, what's the hanoah associated with the blue string of the tzitzis? The answer is forthcoming. Disanya. Hoya Rabbi Meir Omer. Ma nishtan et tchelis mikol minei tzivonim. What is the special feature of tchelis that it was chosen from amongst all the colors for tzitzis? Now, I should point out that with regard to tzitzis, you see the Torah saying, Re'isem oiso, you will see it. So there's an element of seeing associated with tzitzis. With that in mind, we continue. But nay, what's the significance of tchelis? Meisha tchelis doimeliyam. Tchelis is a color that is similar to the color of the sea. V'yam doimelurakia. And the sea is reminiscent of the firmament. V'rakia, the sky, doime l'kisei kovet. And the sky is reminiscent of the heavenly throne. Rashi points out that when you're mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis with the tcheles, it's considered as if you greeted the divine presence. So it's easy then to imagine the reward, the pleasure that one has in having the merit, the opportunity to see a king in this world of some country, of some empire, that would give a person a great sense of pleasure, alachas kama v'kama, to be able to greet the King of Kings, the divine presence. So the this color series continues with the Rokia being associated with the heavenly throne. And where do you see a connection between the firmament and the heavenly throne? Shenemar. So one pasuk says, "Vayiru ois es elokei Yisrael v'tachas raglov k'maisa livnas hasapir uche'etzem hashamayim l'toyar." This pasuk is in the context of the Jewish people camped around Mount Sinai at the time of the receipt of the Torah, and you see a vision that they had there, and they saw k'maisa. They saw the pasuk itself is very difficult to translate in terms of the imagery, because you're dealing with them. The pasuk, they're noticing that the divine presence. God has no form. God doesn't have an image. We can't describe what God looks like. The pasuk though offers a description. So you have to understand it's something of a very, we'll say, deep allegorical nature. And it says in the pasuk that they saw the divine presence, and under his feet was kemaisa livnas hasapir. Sapir is a type of precious stone, and it's ukeetzem hashemayim lotohar. Uchsiv kemara even sapir demus kisei. What we want you to see here is the presence of the word sapir in two psukim. In one pasuk, you have shomayim connected with sapir, the firmament, the heavens, and in the other pasuk, you have kisei, the heavenly throne, associated with sapir. So that when you go back to the series of comparisons, we saw the Rokia compared to the Kisei HaKavod, the heavens, the Shomayim, Rokia and Shomayim, interchangeable terms for us, are compared to the heavenly throne. That is what you see in these two psukim, where in both of them the word Sapir appears. Sapir might be translated as sapphire, a type of bluish stone, that in both cases you have reference to, actually in one case a reference to Shemayim, in the other case a reference to the Kisei HaKavod. So to bring that back to the tzitzis, if you like a little bit of a pun to tie it into tzitzis, having the tzitzis enables you to connect with the Kisei HaKavod, with the divine throne, and as Rashi says, you're credited with being Ki'ilu Hikbil Penei Shechina. Rashi says that four lines from the end of the Rashi commentary. The Mishnah. Before we read the Mishnah, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading. Two issues are dealt with. Number one, Al Ma Kosvin, the Parsha of the Sota, on what is it written? And number two, Bame Kosvin, what type of ink is used? The Mishnah. Eino Kosev, Lo Al Haluach, one does not write on a slab of wood, velo al hanyor, not on nyor. Now in modern Hebrew, nyor is paper. In Mishnah terms, it's something that might be similar to papyrus. It's made from grinding up grasses and mixing that with a substance that's called devik, which we in modern Hebrew refer to as glue. And when pasted all together and prepared in the right way, it becomes nyor, something on which you could write things. But nevertheless, the parsha of the Sota is not to be written on that. Velo al, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis, hadiftara. Do not write on diftara. Now, diftara is, we'll say, leather-based. It's skin, it's ore, it's leather, but hasn't been fully tanned. It's experienced a couple of the stages, but not the final stage. Rashi explains it's not me'ubad called sorcha. It's not completely tanned. It's treated, the maliach, it's treated with salts. Kamiach, it's treated with flour, velo ofitz. Ofitz is a chemical that's added, a plant-based chemical that, in this case, diphtera is that stage of leather processing, of parchment making, but it hasn't been fully processed. You could conceivably write on it, but it's not acceptable for the sota parsha. Elo al hamegillah. And you notice we've double underlined the, we'll say what is necessary, what is needed in a final sense. They have megillah. Megillah is what? That is parchment that's been, we'll say, fully processed. In Rashi, you see the word klaf. We continue in the Mishnah, Shenamar. How do I know that only megillah, only klaf is acceptable? Shenamar, Pasuk says, ba sefer. The Pasuk in Bamidbar, Perakei, Pasuk of Gimel, a Pasuk that we have quoted earlier in today's shiur. The Pasuk says, v'kosev es olos eila ha-koin ba sefer. The word ba sefer means parchment fully, that's fully processed. V'eino koisef, and now as far as inks are concerned, you do not use lo bekumus, v'lo bekankantom, v'lo becholdover shiroshim, elo bidyo. Shenamar u'mocha. Ksav shiocho limochos. We'll go over the mission again, but let's just present the theme, and that we are not to use those kind of substances that leave an impression or a stain in the parchment. It has to be a type of ink that when you erase it, so nothing is left. You don't notice that there had been some writing there beforehand. That is accomplished only if you use a substance called dio. Kumus, Rashi says that you should not use, is sap from a tree that's mixed with water, and it can be used as a type of ink, but it's not acceptable. As we explained, it will leave a mark even after you scratch it off the parchment. Kankantom, Rashi quotes some foreign expressions as to what that is, and the Mishnah that says v'lo b'choldover shiroshem, Rashi on this point says v'lo b'choldover shiroshem v'nivla b'klaf means a substance that would be absorbed into the parchment v'enu yochol limchoik, and as a result, even if you scratch it off, you won't be successful in erasing it. The kumus v'kankantom avdi roshem. Those two substances will leave a mark even after you erase it. Elo b'dyo, Rashi says, shalonu, shal sraf. It's an assumption that Rashi is making that the dyo is like our dyo. Well, whatever that is, but he also tells us it's sraf, it's a sap-based substance that's used for writing. So dyo is acceptable, the other substances are not. And why? Because the Pasuk says, u'mocha. Mocha indicates something that you would be able to erase. Ksav shiochli mochos. It's a type of writing that when you erase it, so no stain, no image is left. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice the use of a diamond, one of our series markings. Then on the side of the Gemara, you note that under the Nosei Mivneh heading, these are psulim shoinim b'ksivas megillas sota, different things that will disqualify, that are unacceptable in the writing of this sota passage. Omar Rava, megillas sota shekosva b'layla psula. The sota passage that's written at night is unacceptable. My time all. What's the reason for that? Answer, Asya Torah Torah. There's a word comparison focusing on the word Torah that leads us to this conclusion. Ksiv hocha ve'osa lo ha-kein es kol ha-Torah zos. Here in the parsha of Sota, you see that the Kohen shall do all of this Torah, uksiv hasam, and elsewhere, when it deals with litigation, law making, judicial procedure, it says al pi ha-Torah asher yorucha v'al ha-mishpat. Ma mishpat bayom, just like judicial procedure is initiated only by day. Af Megillah Soto Bayom. So too, the Sota passage is written only by day. Kosfo Limafreya Psula. If one would write the Sota passage, but backwards. In other words, he would start with the last word of the Pasuk, and then write after that the next to the last word of the Pasuk, etc. That's Limafreya, backwards. That's Psula, it's unacceptable. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, V'chosav es ha'olois ho'ele. And that tells me, ho'ela indicates as they are in their order. Ki diksiva, as they are written out in order, not backwards. Kosvo koidem shitekabel aleho shivua psula. If it's written before the woman accepts upon herself the oath that is imposed upon her, whereby she swears, verifying her claim of innocence. So first the woman must accept that oath upon her, and then the parsha is written. Shenemar, the pasuk says v'hishbiyah v'achar kach v'kosav. The order found in the Torah is first the imposition of the oath and then the writing. Kosva igeres psula. The word igeres, we're not going to translate that word, but it's a piece of parchment in which there's no lining, etching in of lines. Rashi says below sirtut. Sirtut is a situation, if you look at a mezuzah, open up the parchment in a mezuzah, you'll find it's basically overlining. That means when you write the words, the roofs of each letter touch the line, this line that's etched in to the parchment. A Megillah Sota needs to be prepared like that. So Igeres is without that lining. It's Psula. Why? Basefer, Omar Rachmana. The Torah says Basefer, and oral tradition dictates that Sefer requires Sirtut, this lining that we mentioned. We continue with the top of Daf Yudches. Kosva al Shnei Dapin Psula. Here the word Dapin refers to columns. If you are familiar with the way a Sefer Torah is written, it's written in columns. Many columns comprise a Sefer Torah. The Parsha of the Sota must not be written in two separate columns. If it is, Psula. Sefer is a word in the singular, Echad, Omar Rachmona, Velo Shnaim Ushlosha Sfarim. Since the word Sefer appears in the singular, that serves to exclude the writing in multiple columns. Kosav ois achas umochak ois achas v'kosav ois achas umochak ois achas. If he were to write a letter and then erase the letter, write the next letter and erase that, write a third letter and erase that, at the end of the day, all of the parsha was written, but it never appeared in one continuum. Each letter, as it was written, he then erased it. That's unacceptable. Psula. Dechtiv v'osa lo hakein es kol ha'torah hazos. And we learn from that as kol ha'torah means until the whole thing is there at one time. The Gemara will continue with questions concerning laws regarding to the Sota. However, at this point, as you can see, we've continued already on to Daf Yudches, and hence, before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.